Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We want to start a series tonight of 10 different messages on the Lord's commendations. 10 different times that we're going to look at where Christ commended somebody in a very, very special way. And, of course, we know Christ loved people, and he was always looking for opportunities to help people. But these were times when, if we could say it this way so that we would understand it, that God was impressed, that is, Jesus, who was God, that it really got his attention. And we have 10 separate occasions that are mentioned in the Bible in the New Testament that we're going to look at. Tonight we're going to look at the centurion. This was one of the ones that Jesus commended, and you'll see as we go along, and he caused the Lord to really marvel. Even Jesus, God in the flesh, marvel at what took place. Now let's read these verses and then we'll make some comments about them. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame way. Hour. And that's a beautiful story, and it has many lessons for us as we look at it. A centurion was a Roman captain who was over 100 men, and that's why he was called a centurion, our word century. He had evidently heard about Jesus. Perhaps he had seen Jesus perform some miracles. And evidently at this point in his life, he had accepted the fact and believed that he was indeed the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, the real Messiah. Even though he was not Jewish, he was Gentile. But he realized who Jesus really was. And this centurion had a servant that he really loved. Evidently, the servant was a good person, a person that really served him well, somebody who had served him for a length of time and no doubt had been loyal to him. And he was very concerned because of the illness of this servant. In fact, Luke tells us that the servant was ready to die. And Matthew doesn't go into that, but Luke does enlarge on it, talking about the same one, and said he was ready to die. He was so sick, he was at death's door. He was ready to die. And so the centurion had a great need, and he came to Christ with that great need. And there's some things that we see in this that are good lessons for us. And first of all, look at the request that he made. We read it to you in verses 5 and 6. He said in verse 6, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick. Remember, Luke said he was at the point of death. He is sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now that's this is a request, and Jesus knew what he was asking, and we know what he was asking. He was asking that Jesus would keep his servant from dying. That's a pretty strong request, isn't it? I mean, that's a very, very desperate and urgent need that he had, and he went to Jesus and said, "Please help me with my urgent need. That is, I want my servant to be raised from this near-death experience that he's going through right now. I want you to do something about it." Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have anything in your life right now that is urgent and you have a need? Do you have anything in your life that is desperate for you? If not, you may face it this year, but you at least have the formula of what to do with it. But many times we have some things just like that. What do we do during a time like that? Sometimes it's a loved one that is ill. That's a desperate need. And we go to God and say, "Oh God, please raise them up. Please heal them." Now understand, it's not always God's will to heal. He wouldn't heal the Apostle Paul. And it wasn't because Paul was living in sin. It wasn't because Paul didn't have any faith. He told Paul why. He said, "It's best for you if I don't heal you." And sometimes that's God's will. But many times I believe that people are sick and stay sick because some people just don't believe that God can touch and heal their body. Now, I'm not a divine healer, and we're not into that, but we believe in a divine healer, and that's Jesus Christ. And how many times as a pastor have I seen people that were in very bad condition, and God raised them up? And people went over around their bed and prayed. I could give you a lot of illustrations tonight. I don't have time to do that. One right after another where, I mean, the doctor said they're not going to live. You might as well get ready. They're going to die. And some of those were 10 years ago and 8 years ago and 5 years ago, and they're in church every Sunday, and there's still some of them even here tonight. God answers prayer. You have an urgent need. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's a problem in business. Maybe it's a problem at work. Maybe it's a family situation. Friend, you've got an urgent need if you've got a problem in your family. And you have a desperate need. I understand that. But you need to take that desperate need to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in sincerity and in holiness, with your life right with God, expect God to hear your plea, even though it's a very desperate plea. Sometimes it's a financial need, and we wonder, how in the world are we going to get through this? We had a very trying year here this past year. Nothing to panic over, but things were tighter than they have been in the past 9.5 years. A lot of it had to do with the building program, so on and so forth. But what do? You go to God in prayer. You ask God to help. By the way, I'm glad to report to you that our offering Sunday was $50,000. What was it? $65,000. Do you believe God answers prayer? I do. Now, you notice I didn't tell you that before the offering tonight. I'm telling you during the message. And that doesn't mean we don't have needs this coming Lord's Day, but I'm telling you, God took care of a lot of things that we were holding back on, and you know, even some repairs of some things. And I'm not saying that things were panicky bad. I'm just saying they were tighter than they have been, and there are reasons for that, and God knows all about it. But we go to God in prayer. What's your financial need tonight? What is it? Go to God with your what may seem to be an impossible need. And I can tell you, I've seen him do it many times in my pastorates over 37 years and in my own personal life. God can meet those needs. Do you have a spiritual need tonight? God can meet that. If there's some sin habit in your life, you say, "I can never get over it. I can never lick it. I can never quit it." Oh, but you can. Bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess it. Ask him for help, and he'll help you. Are you as wise as that Roman soldier? He was a wise man because he knew that he was making a request, but he knew he was making it somebody that could help, and I believe he believed that Jesus wanted to help him. Do you believe he loves you tonight? You do? I believe he loves us. And I believe he wants to help us. We're his youngins. We're his children. And we need to feel free to go to him and believe he's willing to help and willing to bless. Matthew 11:28 sort of sums it up. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whatever your burden is, bring it to the Lord, and he is there to give you rest. And so that's a request that he made. It was a tall order. But look at the answer he received in verse 7. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. That's almost matter of fact, isn't it? I mean, Jesus just said, I'll come and heal him. I like that. I like the way he answered him. I'll come and heal him. I'll heal him. And I think that reflects the attitude that Christ had, that anybody that comes to him with great needs, he can meet those needs, and he's willing to do it. Lord, I've got a servant. I love him. He's sick. He's about to die. Would you heal him? He didn't have to go through some kind of process or catechism or anything else. Jesus said, yeah, I'll heal him. And he could say that because he was God and he was able to do that. And I'm glad that he'll meet every need we have in our life. There's certain needs we have that need to be met. He can meet those needs. And he will do that. If it's salvation, thank God he can meet that need. Amen. I think most everybody here on Wednesday night is probably saved. I would imagine you are. I would hope so. But if not, Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He'll meet the need of a lost person if they'll come to him. Do you need cleansing tonight? You ever sin? Sure you do. I don't care who we are. We fail God sometimes. I don't care who it is. We fail God sometimes. We're all human. And when the Spirit of God touches our hearts and convicts us of something that we said or did or didn't do, then we have to go to him and ask for cleansing. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's written to the child of God. You have a problem, you have sin in your life, take it to Jesus Christ, confess it, he'll forgive you, and don't wallow around with it and try to hang on to it a long time. Understand it's under the blood, forsake it, and get on about your business serving the Lord. Amen. Because God's able to cleanse us. I'm sure glad of that. Do you need guidance? Well, we all need guidance. I need guidance as pastor of this church. You can be sure I need guidance. But God has that guidance there for me and for the leadership, our deacons, myself, and the staff of this church. And he'll guide us. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee, God's promise, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. He has good eyes. He has perfect 20/20 spiritual vision, and if we'll just learn to follow him, he'll guide us. The main way he guides us is through his word, but also through the Holy Spirit. Do we need deliverance from some circumstance? God's able to do that. You believe God's able to deliver? Say amen. Amen. How about Daniel in the lion's den? And you know, things got pretty bad, but God delivered again. The song writer said, God delivers again, and he does. And that's exactly what he did to Daniel. Israel, the Jews were trying to get out of Egypt, headed toward Canaan land, but they had a problem. Pharaoh was chasing them. And they were in a predicament as they got to the Red Sea. What do we do? All of those people, how in the world are they going to cross the Red Sea? Pharaoh's right behind them, chasing them. And they have the goods, they have the instruments of warfare to take their lives, and they're getting close. What do? You go to God in prayer and pray, and God opened and parted the waters of the Red Sea. And it wasn't a reed sea, it was a Red Sea. Somebody says, well, it was just ankle deep. Well, it sure was a greater miracle that it drowned all those people. Amen. It was the Red Sea, and God parted it. How many of you believe God parted the Red Sea? Amen. He did it. And God can do it, and I'm glad that he's able to deliver us tonight. Do you need more fruitfulness? You know, one thing we ought to all desire in this new year is to bear more fruit for the Lord. We can get stale and backslidden and lukewarm, but it ought to be a desire to say to God anytime, but especially at the beginning of a new measure of chronometrics, the new year we call it, to say, oh God, I want to be more fruitful for you. You know God can help us to do that. John 15:5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You see, that's how we bear fruit, is we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how do you abide? You pray a lot. You spend time in the Word of God. You seek to serve him. And you're abiding in Christ. And I grant you, if we will abide in him, he will produce much fruit through our lives. How much fruit are you bearing tonight for the Lord? How much fruit? I'm not talking about just the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm talking about results as a believer in our life, the fruit that we bear in our lives. Fruitfulness. Do you need illumination? You know, I have a library. I don't even know how many volumes I have in there. And every once in a while, somebody will come in and say, have you read all those? And I'll say, no, I've read parts of some of them, but most of them, a great many of them, I have read. And there are a lot of volumes in there. But you know what? This is the book that I love the most. It's the blessed Word of God. But you know who will enlighten you more on this book than Matthew Henry or any other commentator out there? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Get on your knees. You're studying the Word of God and say, God, speak to my heart. And he promises us he'll do that. Which things also we speak, he says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The greatest teacher you have, and I believe God gives gift of teaching, and that's sort of something that should accompany the pastorate, but the greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit of God. He is a master teacher, and we need to go to him. And he can illuminate the Word of God. He can show us God's will through his Word for our lives as we're searching it to determine what God wants us to do next. It's in his Word. God can supply victory. I like the word victory.
Amen.
It's a good word. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's no excuse for us to let the devil beat us down and defeat us or to have us in the spiritual doldrums, because we have someone in us, Jesus, in the form of the Holy Spirit, the person who is indwelling us, and he's the one who gives us the strength and the help. And the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and I'm glad that he is. He's there to do that, and he's there to give us victory and to help us overcome. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to be wise like this centurion, and we need to go to Jesus. And we need to believe that no matter what our request is, he made a great request, but he also knew that God, that Jesus could handle it, and Jesus gave him an answer, I'll heal him. Just simply, I'll heal him.
Amen.
Then look at the faith he displayed in verses 8 and 9. First of all, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. And then he said in the latter part of verse 8, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But if you'll just speak the word, then I believe that my servant will be healed. Isn't it interesting that he felt so unworthy? You ever feel that way? You know we should feel that way. Oh, I know I'm a child of God, and I know I belong to the family of God. But the way to approach God is not demanding and smart-aleck. You see some of these people on television, I just demand that God do this. Boy, I'd never take that attitude by the grace of God. I think the way to go before him is on our faces and on our knees in humility. And admit our unworthiness. That's the only way people get saved, and that's the only way we're really going to get anything out of God to help us out, is to come as unworthy servants. Yes, as children, but unworthy. And that's the way Peter was in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Isn't that a pretty picture? He fell down at Jesus' knees. You say, well, I can't do that. He's in heaven. You can in prayer. You can in your heart. and you humble yourself. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He realized that he was. That's a good attitude to have. The prodigal said to his father, "I am no longer worthy, no more worthy to be called thy son." He had a humble attitude. That's why he came back home, got things right, and went forward with his father. So God tells us and teaches us, I believe, in this verse, that that's a good way to come before him humbly. But look at his faith. It's amazing faith. He said, "I'm not worthy you come under my roof, but if you'll just speak it, Lord, if you'll just say it, and I know my servant will be healed." You know, that's a lot of faith, isn't it? But that's the kind of faith we need, and that's the kind of faith we should have. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. And I'm talking about a real faith that God honors and God points out in his word that is faith. And he displays it. "Lord, you don't even have to come to my house. I'm not worthy. Just say it and it'll be done." He knew the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his reasoning, he just said in verse 9, "I'm a man under authority." Let me just sort of paraphrase here for a moment. Basically what he says, "I'm a centurion, and I have 100 men under me, and I have somebody over me. And I can take orders, but I can give orders, and because I'm a centurion, they need to move." And he said, "Jesus, I know who you are. Everything is under your authority except for the Father. You're under his authority here as Jesus Christ. He gives the orders, and you give the orders, and everything's going to happen because you have the right to give the orders." And he does, folks. He has a right to call the shots. He has a right to say, "It's going to happen this way. It's going to happen that way. It's not going to happen that way. I'm going to meet that need. This is going to take place." That's God. God has the right to do that. And so that was his reasoning. He had authority, and he understood authority, and he said Jesus has authority. That's why it's good to pray in Jesus' name. And he has authority. There's power in the name of Jesus. Real power. Do you believe that? Power in the beautiful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's his request and his answer and his faith. And then Jesus commends him. This is what I want you to see in verses 10 through 12. Jesus commends him. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Can you imagine Jesus marveling at anything? That's God. That's God in the flesh. As much God as man, as much man as God. But Jesus, when he heard that, when he saw that faith, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, there's always a crowd around, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He said, even the Jews, this is a Gentile, and even the Jews have not exhibited that much faith. Not even in Israel. Jesus stopped and marveled because of a centurion's faith. A Gentile centurion, a military man, his faith. Question, why don't we trust God more? Why are some of you worried to death about this year already? Why do some people go around worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, man? It's going to happen. It didn't happen today. It's probably going to happen tomorrow. If not, it'll probably happen next month. I'm going to be in a wreck. I'm going to have cancer. And somebody's going to die. We're not going to get our bills paid. I'm going to lose my job. I don't know how I'm going to make it. On and on, ad infinitum, on and on and on. We go with worrying and biting our fingernails and concerned about what's going to take place, exhibiting probably no faith much. And it's easy to get in that mindset sometimes. And especially when you're in a storm in the boat, it's easy to forget Jesus is there in the boat too. But we've got to remember that. And he commended him. And here's a centurion. He didn't have the Bible. He didn't have, at this particular time, what we have, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Bible. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We have the testimonies. Many times we have testimonies here. Sometimes we do, over the years many times. And you hear somebody say, God answered prayer. And you know what I think sometimes a lot of Christians are sitting there thinking, I wonder if he really did, if that just happened that way. I wonder if that was just circumstantial things that took place. Well, if it was, it was great timing. Amen? But people give testimonies, and we should be able to look back in our life and say, God will do it again because he's already done it. He took me through that and took me through that. Like David said, I've whipped a lion and a bear. I'm not worried about that giant. And so we need to recognize that we have all of these things that God has given us, and we ought to have faith. We should have faith that God answers prayer. Luke 8:25, and he said unto them, this is a question Jesus asked, where is your faith? That's a good question to ask a church, a good question to ask preachers sometime, and all of us. Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Friend, we don't have anything to be nervous about tonight. We don't have anything to be fretting over tonight. We don't have anything to be afraid of tonight. We just don't have any of those things if we understand who Jesus is and that he is in full control. But we've got to have faith. That's why some people don't serve God, because they don't believe God can use them. But God can use you if you'll step out and serve him. That's why some people don't go into full-time service. God calls them, and they get a little bit like Moses, said, Lord, I'm tongue-tied and I can't speak too well. But you have to go on and believe God and have faith. If God calls you, he'll use you. I mean, I was a very, very bashful little country boy from a little country town in Louisiana. But God called me to preach, and here I am tonight because of God. All because I believe God could take me and do something with me. To be sure, I wish it was more, but at least I think God has done something over the years. At least there have been some folks saved, and there have been some victories that have come along the way, but I only attempted it because I believe God would do that. Where is your faith, Christian? Tonight, let me ask you, where is your faith? That's why some people don't tithe. They don't have any faith. Amen? They don't have any faith. They don't believe what God said. It's that simple. You say, well, no, it's my budget. No, it's, you don't believe what God says. Whether it's the widow's mite or whether it's the rich man's much, it's believing what God says and taking God at his word. And those who have stepped out by faith and tithe and given an offering on top of that have not been disappointed, and they can say even more so. At first they said amen by faith. Now they say amen by experience, and they know God takes care of it. Amen? And that he does. We do it by faith. By faith. Whatever it is that we do. The reason some people complain and worry all the time is they just don't have faith in God. The children of Israel murmured all the time, complaining, murmuring, griping, negative, like some Christians are all the time, just negative all the time. There was one instance in the Bible that I'm reminded of. They were griping, we don't have any water, we don't have any food, and all of that. And they were just complaining, and all kinds of problems developed as a result of that. And there were 12 tribes. They went right over the mountain, just right over the mountain on the other side of the mountain. And there were 12 wells with water in the 12 wells. I think God must have laughed at them a little bit and said, see, I had it all you had to do is just cross on over the mountain. I had it all taken care of, all that murmuring. By the way, how many of you ever added an inch to your stature by worrying? The Bible asks that question. The Bible says, who's going to add anything to their stature worrying about things? What good does worry do? It has never helped anybody. In fact, it has hindered people. It'll hurt your health. It'll hurt your life. It'll hurt your spiritual walk with God. You can't worry about this. That's why some people worried about losing their salvation. If you understand by faith how you got it, you understand that God's going to take care of you until you wind up in his arms in heaven, and you don't have a thing to worry about. We shouldn't worry. We just shouldn't worry and complain. We need to trust God. So he made the request. God answered it. His faith was displayed. God commended him because of what he heard. And then look at what happened. Don't forget, there's a miracle. Look at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." Notice, as and so. You ought to mark those three little bitty words in your scripture right there. As and so. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed 24 hours later, a month later, a year later. No, his servant was healed in the self-same hour. And later he went home to see the results. He said, sure enough, it did happen. He believed it would happen and believed what Jesus said. But you notice the as and the so. It's as we believe. Matthew 9:29, then touched he their eyes, saying, listen to what he said to them, according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith be it unto you. The reason many of us are not having more victory is we don't have more faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, the devil, and all the rest. Note that it is the measure of our faith that will determine the measure of our blessings. The measure of our faith will determine the measure of our blessings. Are you having a lot of blessings? You say, no, not too many. Then it may be because of the measure of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is pleased with faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith makes it real. Though you don't see it and you can't touch it yet, it makes it real. And that centurion had that kind of faith. Little faith, little blessings. More faith, more blessings. Great faith, folks, get it tonight. If you don't get anything else when you walk out the door, don't forget this. Great faith, great blessings. Great faith, great blessings. Get out of the boat, and you'll get to walk on the water. You may sink, but you can brag about walking on the water, amen? Some Christians just don't want to get out of the boat because they don't have enough faith. And it's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to all of us. When the old centurion got home, he found his servant was healed. Don't you know they had a good time? Hey, man, look at you. You were about to die. Let me tell you, I talked to Jesus, and this is what happened on this end. And he says, yeah, and about the same time you say you were talking to him, I began to feel better. And I felt better real quick. That was an exciting time when he got to go see the result of his faith and prayer and all of that. The servant was healed. He was commended for his faith. If we can get that in our minds tonight, God honors faith. Jesus said, I marveled at his faith. Hadn't seen that kind of faith in all of Israel. The Jews, the chosen ones, don't even have the faith that this centurion, Gentile centurion soldier has. Faith. Have faith in God. Do you have an urgent need tonight? Do you have a desperate need tonight? Have faith in God. Can God handle it? Say amen if you think he can. God can handle it. Does he have the authority to do it? I guess he does. He's God. If he can make this world and create it, and he did, he certainly has the authority to handle anything that's down here. And the good thing was, his prayer got answered, and his servant was healed. His servant was healed. Let's stand, please. We'll have an invitation, and I don't know what you're dealing with tonight, or what may be on your heart. There may be some struggles. There may be some things that you're desperate about, something God talked to you about in this message, spoke to you through his Holy Spirit and his word, and you need to come tonight. You see, the centurion realized that he wasn't worthy, and he came to Jesus' feet. That's what we need to do sometimes. Just get on our knees before God. Tell Him about our burdens, our heartaches, our needs, our desperate situation. Whatever it may be tonight, bring it to the Lord. Folks, I'll tell you, He'll honor your faith. Have faith. Believe He'll take care of it. He'll honor it. He can meet your need. He will do it. And your prayer can be answered. Just have faith. Father, I pray that You would speak to the hearts of these dear assembled people here tonight through the power of Your Word, Your blessed, powerful Word, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be people of faith and not fear. Help us to be like the centurion, to know that Jesus, You can handle it, to bring it to You, no matter how desperate it may seem. That child, that marriage, that financial burden, that circumstance, those health problems, whatever it may be, to not be too proud, no matter who we are, to get on our knees before You and pray, and call on You and believe You. You would see our faith, and You would act upon our faith. Help us tonight, in Jesus' name.